Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Pentecost, and I think, unfortunately, too many times, we as Lutherans are viewed as not really believing much about the Holy Spirit, because we don't meditate so much on His work. But that's simply not true. Now, I don't expect a single one of you to start rolling around on the floors and the aisles, shouting out in languages that you've never heard of before. And if you did, I'd probably come out to check on you. But that's not really the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just randomly go into people and make them fall down and gibber. Rather, the Holy Spirit does something much more important. Martin Luther writes in his explanation to the third article of the Creed about this work of the Holy Spirit. What does he have to do? He writes, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true." We as Lutherans have a very full doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, we don't spend a whole lot of time on it. And the reason that we don't solely focus on the Spirit's work is because we are focused, more importantly, on the death of Jesus Christ, the work that the Son has done. But because we focus on this doctrine of justification, that by grace, through faith, you have salvation, that does not mean that we detest the Holy Spirit or that we somehow give second fiddle to him. No, the Holy Spirit is here with us this very day. For he works through the Word of God. He is the one that plants that Word in each of your hearts. He was at work the day that you were brought into his family through holy baptism. For the Holy Spirit came down as a dove like he did on that day. Maybe not visibly like he did that day, but he comes and he is with you. He is now a part of you. Too often we focus on our inner selves, that is the sinful nature of our flesh. And we think, you know, Lord, I'm sorry that I sin, but I can't help it. All I am is a miserable sinner. And you know what? Apart from God, that's true. But you aren't apart from God, are you? Because you have the Holy Ghost living in you. He is also a part of you. And he desires to do the Father's will. Every time that something comes up and you are given the choice between sin and following God's word, it is by the grace given by the Holy Spirit that we follow God's word. Pentecostals sometimes believe that they are the only ones that get the Holy Spirit. But that's simply not true. You don't have to wonder whether or not you have the Holy Spirit if you have never uttered another tongue. A tongue unknown, as oftentimes is done. Because the grace given at Pentecost, the miracle of what happens, is not some gibberish that the people can't understand. Rather, it is the message of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes as tongues of fire resting on these apostles, the sent ones of Jesus, and they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That while we're all sinners, Jesus came from heaven, was made incarnate, and he went to the cross. He who lived a perfect life became sin for you. And then he went to that cross and died for you. But this Jesus, This Jesus, whom St. Peter will say in his magnificent sermon, and I hope that you will spend some time today or this week reading onward from what our text was today to finish St. Peter's sermon. It is one of the best sermons you will ever hear. It is divinely given by the Holy Spirit. And he says, this Jesus, whom you crucified, and they were cut to the heart. Because the fact is we can blame the Jews who were there, we can blame Pilate and the Romans, but we also have to recognize that we have some to blame as well. Because it's our sins that put him on that cross. This Jesus, whom you crucified. These men speak, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is given in that he takes those words and he places it into the ears of every single one of those people gathered from the whole known world is there, all speaking different languages because of the curse of Babel, and they hear it in their own language. That's what it means to speak in tongues. These apostles of Jesus are speaking and it's delivered to them. Because if I got up here and I rolled around and I spoke in gibberish, it wouldn't do a single thing for you. Rather, you need to hear in your own tongue, in your own language, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that Jesus Christ is alive today. He is living, he is active, and he has sent the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Counselor, the Helper to you. You're not living this life on your own. He has given you the Helper, the only help that we can hope in. Jesus Christ had to ascend back to his throne that he might send the Holy Spirit, that he might now be everywhere at all times. That when we have his sacrament today, Jesus Christ will be here with us. It is his body. It is his blood that he feeds and nourishes us with. Peter said, this is the grace. This is what God has done. These men aren't drunk. Rather, we are in the last day. Since Jesus Christ has ascended, we have been living in the end of days, the end times. And if you don't believe me, you can hear what is written here. And it was written and prophesied by Joel. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, and this is the important part, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How often is the name of Jesus on your lips? And when the name of Jesus is on your lips, do you use it to profane him? Do you use it in vain? Do you use it to curse someone else? Or do you call upon that name? Do you pray and praise that name? Because that is what God has called us to do. You see, we could spend so much of our time just focused on our own sinful nature and saying, Lord, there is nothing in me that desires you. But we'd be wrong. Yes, apart from God, that is true. But salvation has come. The Holy Spirit is a part of you. And God has called you as his church, as his Christians, as he calls and gathers you this very day. The fact that you are here in God's house, as opposed to sleeping in bed, or whatever other million other things you can do, is because the Holy Spirit has brought you here today. He's called you so that you might be enlightened, that you might hear his word, that you might receive his sacraments, that you might be built up. The fact is that you, dear Christian, are called to be different. And you know what? You should be prepared to be made fun of. You should live so differently from the world that people make fun of you for being that way. Because they do despise it. Jesus says that the world, the ruler of this world, has nothing in me. That's the devil. The devil is presiding over the world right now, because he is trying to drive all of you straight to hell with him. But the Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus says, whoever loves me keeps my commandments. In our gospel lesson, he answered this way, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The love of Jesus Christ in you is the most important thing that you can possibly have. Sharing that message of Jesus Christ with your neighbors, sharing it and teaching it to your children and grandchildren. But he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You could be doing a million other things right now, but the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day. You could be doing a million other things right now and worshiping all sorts of false gods, but the Lord says, you shall have no other gods. You are right where God wants you to be. And he isn't going to leave you by yourselves. We can look to the world. We can look to the peace that it wants to give. But honestly, do you want that? Do you want to constantly be afraid of the next crisis that they want to save you from? Do you need to sit locked up in your houses afraid of monkeypox and watching Johnny Depp and Amber Heard day after day after day? Can you only find peace depending on how many times you take a foreign substance into your body? Or do you find peace in Jesus? He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is the only peace that can save you. This is the only peace that makes you not so afraid. It is the only peace that we truly have. Jesus sends his helper to be with you, to create in you a clean heart, to want to do the will and desires of your Father. His peace surpasses all understanding. His peace is given to you today. And so the church sings. Come, holy fire, comfort true, grant us the will your work to do, and in your service to abide, let trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power prepare each heart, and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend, through life and death to you our Lord ascend. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.